The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We are delighted that you have decided to hang out with us today. Here in our beautiful news bunker, which has been fortified against the looming monkeypox apocalypse. And by the way, they're saying more cases of the monkeypox are popping up all over the place. So must be a lot of raves happening across the fruited plain. Anyway, we've got a lot going on today. The big news coming out of Texas and Washington, D.C., and there are a couple of dueling stories that we want to share with you. First of all, the Associated Press and, well, everybody else under the sun is now reporting that it took police officers between the time the gunman stormed the elementary school building and the time he was taken out, there was 40 minutes. That is the reporting coming out of Texas this afternoon. And if you are in law enforcement, and I know Fox and Friends this morning was disputing some of those reports, but literally everybody is reporting that it was about 40 minutes, and there's video of moms and dads pleading with the police officers to go inside to storm the building. One of the dads says, well, look, if you're not going to storm the building, we can do it. And it was a very emotional scene outside that grade school. And again, the investigation has to be had. But here in this country, people are able to ascertain the facts before the investigation has been had. So, yes, the authorities are now saying, yeah, it took 40 minutes between the opening gunfire and the time we were able to breach the building. But we don't have an explanation as to why. What happened and how did all of that go down? Meanwhile, you've got the NRA, and people are beginning to posture there. President Trump, Senator Ted Cruz say they are still going to speak at the NRA convention, which I believe gets underway today in Houston. Just bad timing all around, but it is what it is. Senator Cornyn, John Cornyn, and Congressman Dan Crenshaw say they will not attend the NRA gathering in Houston. And the guy who wrote American Pie, he's not going to perform. So he's pulling out of the show. Meanwhile, you have Joe Biden yesterday up on Capitol Hill. I'm going to play this soundbite first and explain what the president was talking about. Cut one, please.
The federal agency that measures and ensures that gun laws are enforced and the Second Amendment is abided by, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Explosives, the AFT, has not had a Senate confirmation leader for 7 years because of these disputes.
AFT? What? AFT? What the heck is the AFT? Is that a new agency? Anybody ever heard of the AFT? I've never heard of that. I know all the government agencies. I know the FBI, the CIA, the EPA. I've never heard of the AFT. What the heck is he talking about? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we decided to do immediate research on the president there, and we believe that he meant to say the ATF, not the AFT. So the president, not a new agency, it's been around for a long time, the ATF. But then Biden went on to talk about the Second Amendment. And we're going to play this audio for you. There is, you know what, I want to go to cut three because I want you to get the context of what Biden is saying about the Second Amendment and why you need to be very concerned about your gun rights in America.
As a nation, I think we all must be there for them, everyone. And we must ask, when in God's name will we do what needs to be done to, if not completely stop, fundamentally change the amount of the carnage that goes on in this country? To state the obvious, and Corey and a lot of other people here, I'm sick and tired. I'm just sick and tired of what's going on and continues to go on. I spent my career as chairman of the Judiciary Committee and as vice president working for common sense gun reforms. As I said, as a senator and a vice president. While they clearly will not prevent every tragedy, we know certain ones will have significant impact and have no negative impact on the Second Amendment. Second Amendment is not absolute. When it was passed, you couldn't own a cannon. You couldn't own certain kinds of weapons. It's just always been limitations. But guess what? These actions we've taken before, they saved lives, and they can do it again. The idea that an 18-year-old can walk into a store and buy weapons of war designed and marketed to kill is, I think, just wrong. It just violates common sense. Even the manufacturer, the inventor of that weapon, thought that as well. You know, where's the backbone? Where's the courage to stand up to a very powerful lobby? We're here today for the same purpose, to come together and say enough, to act. We must.
All right, so there you have the context. But what I want to go back, I want to talk about and focus on a couple of key parts to what Biden was spewing there. And kudos to the president, by the way, because he was able to speak without getting lost in word salad. So he deserves credit for that. But the spewing of lies is what I've got a problem with. Now, you heard the president there saying that when the Second Amendment was created, you as an American citizen were not allowed to go out and buy a cannon, right? We all heard it. He said that the Second Amendment is not absolute and you could not go out and buy a cannon. So I want to turn to the fact checkers on this, and very rarely do I quote from the Washington Post, but on this one I will, because that line is a standard line from a Joe Biden campaign speech. And so the Washington Post decided to investigate, and the Washington Post determined that what the president is saying is simply not true. As a matter of fact, historians have found no evidence that anybody was banned from buying cannons back during the Revolutionary War. They actually gave the president four Pinocchios on their fact-checking website. So the president keeps referencing this over and over and over again, and I don't know if he's doing it intentionally or if he's just addled in the brain. Either way, it's not good, and the White House needs to come out and needs to correct the record here. Now, Dave Capel is a research director, and he is also the project director at the Independence Institute. And he points out very clearly that after 1791, there were no federal laws about the type of gun you could own, and no states limited the kind of gun you could own. It wasn't until the early 1800s when there were attempts to pass restrictions on what sort of weapon you could conceal. Very hard to conceal a cannon, by the way. Just throw that out there. Kermit Roosevelt, a constitutional law professor at the University of Pennsylvania, says this, and I'm quoting from the Washington Post, "I think what he's saying here is that the Second Amendment was never understood to guarantee everyone the right to own all types of weapons. As phrased, it sounds like the Second Amendment itself limited ownership, which is not true." Now, look, you can have a debate about, you know, whether or not we should ban this gun or that gun, but the reality is the Constitution, the Second Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, the Second Amendment does not limit what sort of weapon you can own. Want to go out and buy a cannon? Then by golly, have at it. Watch for the cannonballs. Now, as for this other part of the conversation, where Biden is now saying the Second Amendment is absolute, what part of shall not be infringed does the president not understand? So look, this is why the elections matter. When you have someone like Dr. Oz, who may or may not be the eventual Republican nominee in Pennsylvania, you have a guy like Dr. Oz, who for most of his adult life, until he decided to run for the Senate, was anti-gun rights. What happens if he becomes the deciding vote in the Senate on whether or not to curtail your Second Amendment freedoms? That's all. And I don't know about you, but I would like to know the answer to that question before Election Day. That's all we're asking here. That's the basic concern. We don't want anybody to pull a Romney or you people who might remember Obamacare. We don't want him to pull a John McCain. There you go. So it's no surprise the Democrats are going down this path. Robert Francis O'Rourke, the fake Mexican, Bobby Francis, made a complete jerk of himself in front of God and country and the families of the dead children by disrupting this press conference yesterday, which, by the way, we broadcast on this program. It happened late in the show. And the mayor, by the way, is, and we'll play this audio a little bit later on, but the mayor is upset. Everybody's upset at Bobby Francis. CBS News is reporting that the whole thing was staged. This was not some sort of a spontaneous outpouring of outrage from Bobby Francis. No, no, no. This was a well-thought-out and well-orchestrated political theater. That's what CBS is reporting. Their reporter was actually in the room. Not Fox News, CBS News is reporting this. So look, where are we going with all of this? Yeah, we get it. Biden's coming after our guns. The Democrats, they want our guns. I get that. My question is, okay, so you want a gun law on the books. We've got to have background checks. All right. Go down to your local gun store, wherever you go buy your guns, and try to buy a gun. You never bought a gun before, and ask what's going to happen. All right, you're going to have to go through a background check. All right, the background checks are there. So the question is, what sort of law on the books that we currently do not have do we need to have to prevent something like this from happening ever again? What is that law? I know that passions are running high, but somebody has to think critically here. Somebody has to think logically here. What is it that we are not doing right now? What laws that are not on the books right now do we need to have to fix this problem? Now, some people are going to say, well, we've got to ban the AR-15s. All right. So who's going to be going door to door to confiscate the AR-15s from law-abiding gun owners? How is that going to work out? We haven't thought about it. Well, you got to think about that. I mean, if you're going to have that kind of a law, you're going to pass that sort of a law. Where do you stop? A bullet is a bullet is a bullet. So if you want to have that conversation, that's a fine conversation to have. But you're going to have to answer a lot of questions, and you're going to have to think this through. And nobody's thinking with their brains right now. And that's the problem. But beyond all of that, the issue for me, we ought to be focusing on a much bigger problem. And our good friend Mark Hancock from Trail Life USA brought this up yesterday. What is the one thing that most mass shooters have in common with each other? Most of them come from broken homes. They come from a home where there is not a father in the home. And there is chaos. But I'll even go a step further. I think a lot of these homes, these kids, have no exposure to religion. They have no understanding of right from wrong. And I do believe that what we are dealing with here is a spiritual crisis at its core, at the root of all of this. But nobody, not even Republicans, really want to talk about those issues. Tom, we can't talk about religion. Well, you know what? Somebody better, because this country is going to hell in a handbasket. And you think this is going to be the last mass shooting? No, of course not. I mean, you're going to have guys getting in cars, mowing people down in Christmas parades. You're going to have people with knives attacking people on subways. This is going to happen. We live in a violent nation. The guns don't make our nation violent. It's the heart of the people. That is what makes people violent. But again, if you want to talk about guns, okay, well, let's talk about guns. But you know what? Let's talk about video games. Let's talk about movies. Let's talk about the music. I mean, let's talk about social media. You could go on and on. And you know what? You could get rid of all of that. Guess what, folks? Mass shootings were happening long before Facebook came along. Mass shootings were happening long before Call of Duty came along and all those other games. So we can have that conversation, but the root of the problem, and until you address the root of the problem, we're going nowhere in this country. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. If you agree or disagree, give us a call. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Milwaukee, our good friend Jerry on the line. All right, Jerry, what say you?
Yeah, Todd, I'm not opposed to the Second Amendment. I think there's limits to any constitutional amendment, including the First. I mean, you can't libel, you can't commit a threat. So I'm not saying we shouldn't have the Second Amendment. And for example, I don't think nonviolent felons should be banned from owning guns, especially after probation and parole. I think that restricts their right. I don't think there's any purpose. I think they have Second Amendment rights, and I think those are necessarily being violated if they're not a threat. So I'm not opposed to the Second Amendment. What I'm stating is that there are limitations on it, and there are things necessary for, like, say, gun shows, gun shows that aren't with federally licensed dealers. People who have committed violence and committed mass shootings have indeed bought guns from non-federally licensed dealers or gun shows, things, or like websites. So that is a loophole that I think we can look at in the country. And there's other things too, maybe like crackdown on gun stores that sell to straw buyers, or, you know, some gun stores transfer records. Like there's one in Milwaukee who had a history of that, transferring records between family members. So there's things.
And what happened to that? I don't know that story in Milwaukee, but what happened in that incident?
I think they might still be in business. They're technically in West Milwaukee, which is a suburb of Milwaukee.
Was law enforcement called in? Did they face any sort of fines or penalties for what they did?
Yeah, I would have to reread the.
Okay. But the point is, Jerry, is that if that happened, it clearly was in the news, and it sounds to me like somebody exposed that. And if they were breaking the laws that were currently on the books, then they should be punished. They have to abide by the laws on the books. But my question to you, Jerry, is based on what you just said, would any of those have stopped the shooting in Texas a few days ago?
I can't say of a specific shooting. I can't say that a law would stop one specific act. As I said, there are people who did commit mass shootings, not just murder in general, but mass shootings, who did buy them through things, through, you know, legal means. Because not, you know.
But Jerry, in this incident, and Jerry, we got to skedaddle for the break here, but in this particular incident, this kid legally acquired that firearm. He went through the background check, the whole nine yards. At least that's what the police are telling us. So my question is, what laws, new laws, could have stopped this from happening? Folks, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
I've noticed that when I go to the shopping mall and buy one of the towels, they just don't seem to work very well. They feel too soft and too lotion-y. They just don't absorb the water. Well, our good friend Mike Lindell over at MyPillow has found a solution, and you've got to get yourself one of his brand new towels. These things are incredible. And best of all, they're made right here in the U.S., and all of his towels come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. You're going to be able to get a six-piece set, two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths, all made with USA cotton. They are soft yet absorbent, and you're normally going to pay over $100. But thanks to our good friend Mike Lindell, $39.99. That's it. It's a great deal. All you have to do, go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Just enter the promo code STARNS, or you can call 800-839-8506 for some incredible radio specials. Again, MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS.
Joe Biden coming out with yet another statement. I mean, this guy, they're turning it. Folks, I'm telling you, the PR machine is up and running at the White House. Biden, by the way, why does Biden keep using God's name in vain like that? Have you noticed? I mean, he says, what in God's name? He did it again. Biden says the idea that an 18-year-old can walk into a store and buy assault weapons is just wrong. What in God's name do you need an assault weapon for except to kill someone? All right. So let me try to help the president out here just briefly. We're going to go to the phones. First of all, the reason why the murder rates as far, and we're talking about people killed with a firearm, the reason why those numbers did not go down when they originally banned those weapons is because most people in America, if they're shot and killed, are not shot and killed with an AR-15. There's some data out. This is coming from the FBI. Roughly 2.6% of the shootings in America involve an AR-15 or a rifle. 45.7% of gun murders in America, gun deaths in America, 45.7% are from handguns. So again, if you want to have that conversation, have that conversation, but you got to come armed with the facts if you want to have that conversation. Not to mention, and President Biden seems to think that the only reason that you, God-fearing, gun-toting Americans want an AR-15 is because you want to go out and kill somebody. And that's not true. As a matter of fact, Americans own over 11 million AR-15s. That's a lot of AR-15s. And most commonly, the reason why somebody, and some of you may own an AR-15, and you can call and verify this information. By and large, most people buy those AR-15s for home defense. They want to make sure that they and their families, their home, their property are protected. And that's why they have an AR-15. But a lot of other people use the AR-15s for all sorts of gun competitions, for training, you name it. But Biden seems to think, and that's what he said in his tweet, that the only reason for you to own an AR-15 is that you're going to go out and kill somebody. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Let's start with Pete in Iowa. All right, Pete, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd, just old bitters got me sort of mad. An AR-15 is a .223 diameter. A .22 caliber, which everybody, you know, says, oh, it's just a kid's rifle or whatever. But a .22 is 0.22, about a quarter of an inch diameter. A 223 is 223, 3,000th of a difference diameter. You can actually get a converter and use 22 caliber rifle shells in a 223. It's the same diameter, but a 223 actually has a bit larger case and gunpowder, but the actual bullet, the projectile, is 223 on an AR-15. And if you compare that to a 12-gauge shotgun, it's much what Biden had, his double barrel. That's much bigger than a 223.
And let's jump in here, Pete. And again, I don't want to get into the weeds here, but let's just be honest. It was Joe Biden who suggested using the double barrel shotgun and just opening fire through the screen door.
Exactly.
All right.
And if you take a 45 caliber, that's 0.45. That's almost a half inch. So it's double as a 22.
So you told Grace you wanted to talk about the cannon, and we haven't got around to that. So what's your point here, Pete?
Okay, that a 223 is smaller than a shotgun shell that Biden had that wants to shoot in the air. So Biden's 12-gauge is much closer to a cannon than a 223.
And there you go. And that is a valid, well-thought-out point, Pete, which we need more of. But people are not thinking with their brains, Pete. God bless you. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Central Arkansas. Steve on the line. All right, Steve, what say you?
Hey, Todd. Speaking of thinking, this is something that I don't hear anybody address, but it's something that on almost all these school shootings especially enters my mind. You have usually an 18, 19-year-old, socially dysfunctional, didn't finish school, dysfunctional family, all kind of problems. They're going into these schools with $5,000 to $10,000 worth of tactical equipment with guns and body armors and all the stuff. Where's the money coming from for these people to buy this stuff?
Yeah, you know, I was wondering the same thing, and they haven't released that information yet. But
you never hear anybody even bring that up. Somewhere that's a piece of a puzzle that I would like to see somebody try to find the piece to, because it just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense, and I'm with you there. But again, we don't know the financial background of the grandma or the grandpa. You know, did they give him some sort of a birthday gift? You know, he just turned 18, so I don't know. I mean, that would have been one heck of a birthday present, Steve. Yeah. But I'm with you. I was wondering how he was able to get the cash to buy the weapons.
That kind of links to some of the stuff going on the border and back in the summer of rioting. I mean, where was the money coming from to fly these people from all over the country to hit these cities? I mean, we got several things going on in this country that's a question that needs to be answered.
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm sure the investigators will hopefully find that information out. Steve, got to run. Thanks for the call. And by the way, I've been seeing the headlines. We don't need, and somebody's got talking points out there. Just keep that in mind. There are lots of talking points floating around social media. One of the floating talking points is that 18-year-olds have no business owning a weapon of war. Well, I want to, again, we're dealing with facts here. And folks, I know there's a lot of passion out there. There's a lot of emotion, but somebody in talk radio world needs to share some basic facts. And here is a basic fact. The AR-15 is not a fully automatic military grade firearm. So it's not the same weapon you see the military using, contrary to the reporting in the mainstream media. Now, the NRA has a great website, and they refute all of this information, all of this fake news. And I would encourage you to take full advantage of what the NRA has out there, because it's good, solid information. Now, it's what I don't mind a fair and balanced debate. I've got a problem with people intentionally spreading fake news. That's what I've got a problem with. All right, let's go to Arkansas. Alice on the line. Hi, Alice. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Mr. Todd, for taking my call. You said it's a spiritual problem. Oh, yes, it is. Jesus said, ye must be born again, because we came into this world thanks to Adam and Eve and their choice with a carnal nature. We need that. Behold, all things become new. I'm not quoting exactly, because the old things have passed away. We need God, our loving and good God, to be our Lord and our Master. We were created for His pleasure. And He's a wonderful God, and the way He wants us to live is absolutely perfect. You couldn't have said it better. It's a spiritual problem. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
And Alice, I know people, you know, in the conservative talk radio world, they don't like talking about religious stuff, but I think we have to. This is at the heart, the root of the problem. And Alice, you're right, and you sound like a sweet church-going Christian lady, and we need more voices like yours feeding truth into the culture. But ladies and gentlemen, and Alice, God bless you, and thank you for that call. Ladies and gentlemen, when you look at absolute truth, when you look at that idea, now that everybody has their own version of the truth, well, guess what? This is what that chaos looks like when everybody has their own truth. You can take away every single gun in America, and people are still going to find a way to kill each other. That's just the reality of it. And you know what? How many people have been stabbed to death, have been killed by knives? Where are the people out there saying, well, we got to get the cutlery. We've got to ban butter knives. We can't have butter knives in America. I mean, where do you draw the line here? 844-747-8868, our toll-free telephone number. Have you heard the big news over at Newsmax? Greta Van Susteren is back. She's joining Newsmax as host of their brand-new show, The Record with Greta Van Susteren. Starting June 14th, Greta reports on the big stories from Washington, giving you the facts you need to know. Greta is smart, she asks the tough questions, and is always fair. Greta is journalism the way it ought to be. You know, I made the switch to Newsmax like millions of others, and I want you to make the switch and watch Greta Van Susteren. You can get info about her new show. All you have to do is text the word Greta to 39747. That's Greta to 39747. Or go to GretaIsBack.com. That's GretaIsBack.com. Make the switch today, folks, to Newsmax, America's fastest growing cable news channel, and get the latest on Greta's new show. Text Greta to 39747. Newsmax is real news for real people.
If you want to protect yourself, get a double barrel shotgun. Have the shells of 12-gauge shotgun. And I promise you, as I told my wife, we live in an area that's wooded and somewhat secluded. I said, Jill, if there's ever a problem, just walk out on the balcony here, or walk out, put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house. I promise you, whoever's ever coming in is not going to. You don't need an AR-15. It's harder to aim, it's harder to use, and in fact, you don't need 30 rounds to protect yourself. Buy a shotgun.
All right, there you go. That is Joe Biden and his plan to defend the Biden family compound. Double barrel shotgun, just open fire, right? Which, by the way, if they're outside of the home, technically, I believe that is illegal in Delaware. I don't think you can do that. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I want to share this intel with you. So there is a video which I've just watched. A Texas Department of Public Safety spokesman is now confirming that police officers actually ran into the school, but not to stop the shooter. They say the police officers ran into the school to save their own children. This is I went back and listened to it twice just to make sure I heard what the spokesperson was saying here. But again, just picture the situation outside of that school. You've got moms and dads begging police to let them in to save their kids. Nobody's going in except police officers who are going in to save their own children. Folks, they've got to get a handle on this, and they've got to get a handle on whatever really happened, and they need to get that information out there. This is a powder keg down there, a powder keg. All right, let's go to the phones. Rick in North Carolina, listening to us on the talk station. Hey, Rick, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Just real quick, the previous caller asking where the kid got the money from. Two thoughts here. Stimulus checks, okay, and or I believe, I don't know how accurate this is, I think I heard somewhere that he had recently gotten a job at a fast food restaurant.
Yeah, he worked at Wendy's. Wendy's.
Right, and a lot of these fast food restaurants are got help wanted signs everywhere posting $15 an hour starting out. So there you go. Thanks to quick money to be made, and for young people, due to wages going up and up and up. But I mean, that's just an idea. I mean, I don't know if it's true or not. Just I think you did, get a fast food restaurant job to pay for the purchase.
And he may have. I mean, it's a lot of money. And you throw in birthday, and if the kid got any birthday money, I don't know. I mean, it's a possibility. You know, my question is how was he able to get that weapon, even though there were issues with him as a juvenile? And if there are juvenile records involved, I don't care where you are, I think if you're going to go out and buy a gun, those need to be a part of whatever decision is made. That's a big problem in my book.
Right. And something else I heard earlier on the Brian Kilmeade show, there was a guest that was speaking earlier and made a point that guns have been around for years, and mental illness has been around for, since the fall of man at the Garden of Eden. And, this is really mass shootings, as bad as they are. I'm sure there's been times throughout history, whatever, I don't know. But mainly right now, it's been a new phenomenon within the last 30 years. What has changed to make it, where people, it was everyday life that handled weapons, and it was never an issue.
Well,
now,
look,
all of a sudden.
Well, and it's not now all of a sudden, Rick. I mean, here in Memphis, Tennessee, almost 400 people were killed, shot and killed in Memphis, Tennessee. You've got hundreds of people monthly that are getting shot in places like Chicago. So it's all out there. I mean, these are horrible, horrible tragedies, and I get that. I understand that. But banning the guns is not the answer. When you do that, the only people who will have those guns are the bad guys. Rick, got to skedaddle. Appreciate the call. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Matt in Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC. Matt?
Hi, Todd. I was thinking about this, like everybody has been, and Dennis Prager usually says the bigger the government, the smaller the citizen. And I was thinking about the larger these consolidated schools that we've created, the smaller the student. And as we know, centralized government doesn't work. I mean, just look at our inner cities, the way they're set up. But the small communities, decentralized communities, small schools, it may be set up where maybe your home life might have sucked, but it used to be a small school. You would have a family, a sense of community there, and you could get help. You wouldn't be radicalized in a small community, a small hometown feel. Even if life at home was not the best.
In other words, and again, I get it, small town communities, everybody's in everybody's business, and
yes,
they know. I think I get where you're going with that, but in this particular instance, this is a small town school, so it really was one of those instances, where everybody knew everybody. I hate to do this, Matt. We are up against a hard break here. Otherwise, we keep you going. Folks, got to take a break. Monica Crowley coming up. Also, Senator Bill Hagerty is going to be here. Your calls to 844-747-8868. ToddStearns.com is our website. Check that out, folks. Download our free podcast. Sign up for the free newsletter. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And we're trying to get our hands wrapped around and our heads wrapped around a crazy story that's developing out of Uvalde, Texas, where they're having a hard time putting together a timeline of exactly what went down. But here is what we can tell you, that the gunman had about 40 minutes to mow down the people that were in that classroom, that fourth grade classroom. Now, we do know that a couple of police officers ran in to the school, and here's the timeline as we know it, that two police officers ran in and were quickly shot by the gunman. And at that point, the gunman barricaded himself inside the fourth grade classroom. According to police officials, the gunman entered the classroom, barricaded himself inside for about 40 to 60 minutes. All of the 21 people killed and 17 injured were inside those classrooms. At this point, they don't know if the classroom doors were locked or not, or how the gunman was able to access the school. A school resource officer was on the scene and was armed, but it was unclear if that officer actually fired his weapon or what he did in response to the suspect's entry. Two city police officers followed behind the gunman into the school, and both were shot. There are also confirmed reports now from law enforcement that police officers did run into the school. Other police officers ran into the school, not to stop the gunman, but to get their own kids. Now, I'm just curious here, and this is a sticky little situation, but if you are a police officer, let's say you're at a crime scene, you find out you've got family members that are at the crime scene, what is your first responsibility? Do you go and get your kids, or do you stop the shooter, the attacker? That conversation will be had in the coming days. What makes it even more disturbing, there's video of police officers holding parents at bay. You could hear the gunfire. The parents are begging the police to go in and save their kids. It got to the point where the police had to threaten to tase the parents. So imagine this situation. You've got moms and dads that were not afforded the same rights as the police officers had. The police officers were going in and they were trying to save their own kids, but these moms and dads were not allowed to do the same. Does that seem right to you? So again, when you step back here and look at what's happening in Texas, it's very clear to me that a lot of stuff went wrong. A lot of stuff went wrong at that school. And let's hope we get to the bottom of it. But the problem is, we're probably not going to get to the bottom of it because everybody's focused on getting the guns. Our telephone number, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. We've got stories and video up on our website, ToddStearns.com, and you should really check that out. President Barack Hussein Obama could not resist, so he decided to equate the death of George Floyd to what's happening down in Texas. Now, keep in mind, you had 21 people shot and killed. And in President Obama's mind, he was saying, don't forget the anniversary of George Floyd. So he's trying to explain to you that what happened to George Floyd is more important to the nation than what's happening in Texas right now. That's what Obama is trying to say. Obama wrote, as we grieve the children of Uvalde today, we should take time to recognize that 2 years have passed since the murder of George Floyd under the knee of a police officer. Yes, George Floyd, a man who clearly the police broke the law, and they're paying the price for that. But George Floyd was not some sort of a saint. As a matter of fact, George Floyd was under the influence of drugs, allegedly, at the time of his death. Obama goes on to say his killing stays with us all to this day, especially those who loved him. And I have no doubt about that. But what does Obama want? Does he want all of the people down in Texas to take a moment and stop what they're doing? Does he want all the moms and the dads, the grieving parents, to stop and say a quiet prayer in the name of George Floyd? Is that what Obama's suggesting that we do here? Should grieving moms and dads really care one iota about George Floyd? And for that matter, what does George Floyd have to do with what's happening down in Texas right now? Barack Hussein Obama, never let a crisis go to waste. That's that. And there is no uniter-in-chief. There is no comforter-in-chief. It's all about division. That's all these people know how to do is divide, divide, divide. All right, let's go to Hendersonville, North Carolina. Stephen on the line, WHKP, our great affiliate there. Stephen, what's going on?
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
I wanted to agree with your comment that individual police officers sometimes don't have their correct priorities.
Well, look, I know what the book says, but, you know, if you're thinking as a parent and you show up at the scene and you realize, oh, wait a second, my kid's in there, you know, what do you do as a police officer?
Well, your first responsibility as a law enforcement officer is to get the situation under control, regardless of whether you have an individual family member in the school or not.
Now, Stephen, are you in law enforcement? Do you have law enforcement in your family?
I do not.
All right. Well, look, I appreciate the call, and thank you for listening. I would like to hear from police officers, because this is going to turn ugly if the communications director, the spokesperson for the Texas Department of Public Safety, is in fact accurate with how all of that went down. There are going to be a lot of angry, angry moms and dads there because they were not afforded the same right to try and save their kids. And I got to tell you, they've got a pretty darn good argument, a pretty darn good point. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, people, welcome back to the show. Let's go to the phones. We've got Frank, who's a retired cop from Georgia, WDUN, the station there. Frank, good to have you with us today.
Good afternoon, Todd. How are you doing?
Frank, doing well. Real curious to get your take on the latest developments coming out of Texas.
So my comments are going to be based with the facts that I don't have all the facts on the timeline and why certain police officers entered and some didn't. So I can only comment in a general sense is that my training, we made entry just as soon as we arrived at the scene. You didn't wait. You went in. As far as allowing parents to go into the school, can you imagine the chaos, especially if a bunch of parents also got shot and killed?
Well, no doubt about that, Frank, but you certainly understand their position where they don't see they don't see the police, and now the reports coming from the Texas Department of Public Safety that they actually did have cops in that building, but the cops were there to save their own kids and not theirs.
Well, certainly their number one priority, and I listen, if you have a child, I can understand their mindset, but their main purpose for making entry is to take the shooter out. If they spend a lot of time looking for their own kid, you know, if the school is the size of the typical elementary schools in Georgia, they're fairly big, and you can spend a lot of time looking for your own kid when you could have that time spent on taking out the shooter. And I don't disagree with the parents. I understand
right
their feelings. But if you allowed parents to make entry and they got shot, the conversation now would be, well, why in the world did the police allow a bunch of unarmed parents to go in and now they're dead?
Too? Oh, yeah. And Frank, I don't think anybody in their right mind thinks that the parents should have been allowed to run in. But to their argument is somebody should have. And I think that's an argument that we're going to have a conversation on in the coming days. Frank, got to run. Thank you for the insight. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. She is the host of the fastest growing podcast in America, Monica Crowley. Monica, good to have you with us today.
Hey, hi, Todd. Thanks for having me back.
And, you know, Monica, this guy, Frank, who was just on, a retired police officer, and you know, we're trying to make sense of what the officials are telling us from Texas, that guy, the gunman, was allowed to be barricaded inside that classroom for at least 40 minutes. A lot of questions about the reaction and the response down there.
Yeah, I know. I think there are more questions now than answers. You know, we operate in this society under a social contract, and the social contract goes in a lot of different directions. But when it comes to law enforcement and the citizenry that they are sworn to protect, the social contract assumption is that if you are in a place of danger, if you are in a difficult, perhaps even life-threatening situation, that law enforcement will put themselves on the line in defense of you or to rescue you. That's the assumption that we all operate on. And the criminals know that too, right? So that's what makes the entire system work. And what we're hearing, and again, we're still waiting for some of these details to be fleshed out and confirmed, but if in fact this is true, that goes to a direct breakdown of that social agreement with law enforcement and the citizenry and what makes society even able to function and not descend into chaos. So let's see what comes out of this. But if this is true, you know, we've got some real work to do in this country if we're going to still hang together as a functioning society.
I think that's a fair point. And meanwhile, you've got the federal government, which is not being helpful at all. Joe Biden and Monica, I got to tell you, the first few seconds of his remarks the night of the shooting were moving. And then he turned on the switch and went, you know, full bear on, we got to get the guns. We got to get the guns.
You know, the murder of children is a singular evil. And when you are faced with that kind of singular evil, people in leadership positions ought to rise to the moment, especially the president of the United States. Any president wears a lot of different hats, Todd, but one of those hats is to be the comforter in chief when something like this happens on this kind of a scale. And most normal presidents take the moment to unite the country in grief, to uplift the country in a dark moment, and communicate a bringing together of all of us. This president did none of that. You referred to the first couple of minutes. That was all about him. So those first couple of minutes when people thought, okay, he's going to go down a responsible and thoughtful road here. Well, he did, but for himself.
No, but he did.
He was
talking
about losing two sons, right?
His daughter. Remember, he lost a daughter in that car accident, which I think is what he was trying to convey. I understand what this pain is like. And so I'm not going
to. I know, but still.
Yeah, I'm not going to fault him for that. But then just to declare war on most of the population, that's where I've got a big problem.
Well, absolutely. I mean, my issue is twofold. One, every set of remarks like this he centers it around himself and his own experience. And I understand why he's doing it, but we know the story already, and I'm sorry for him, but he is now the president of all the American people, okay? So he should have stepped up and given a set of remarks that transcended politics and united the country in grief. And instead, he chose to launch into this left-wing pablum, tedious, tiresome old left-wing talking points about guns and gun control, just completely gross and inappropriate. But you know what? This is who he is. He is a hack. He has always been a hack. And Todd, you know, you can be a hack when you're in the United States Senate because you're one of 100 and you can hide behind the other 99. But when you are a hack, when you are a president, and the nation's eyes are turning to you in this kind of a moment, and you just veer off into hackdom like this, it was disgusting, inappropriate, and a grotesque display of partisanship.
Monica Crowley on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And Monica, on the other side, you've got Barack Hussein Obama now telling all these grieving parents what they ought to be doing is taking a moment to, I don't know, pray for George Floyd. That's just insane.
Well, I tweeted about this yesterday. I retweeted Obama's tweet on this, and all I put was, "You are a disgrace." That was a disgraceful display from any American president. Coming from Obama, you know, who's supposed to be the great uniter and the healer of racial divisions, to do this to stoke the divisions even further, and also to compare the two. I mean, George Floyd, nobody deserves to die that way. I'm not excusing the police in the situation, and they've been held to account. But George Floyd was a career criminal who was tripping on fentanyl or God knows what else. To compare that to the slaughter of 19 innocent children is just beyond the pale. But it shows you who they are. The left will never miss an opportunity to exploit any kind of crisis to advance their left-wing agenda.
You're well said. Real quick, Monica, what's coming up on the podcast?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. Yes, the Monica Crowley podcast is cooking along. And if you don't already subscribe, please do. It's free. I'm doing it 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And it's just been dynamite. So go to whatever platform, wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher. Download it. Again, it's free. Once you subscribe, it will automatically come to your phone. And, you know, tomorrow I'm going to do, I just had yesterday, by the way, and everybody should listen to this. I did an interview with Naomi Wolf, who is incredibly brilliant and brave on all of the threats to human freedom coming from the global predators like the World Economic Forum and the CCP. It is a tremendous interview. So please subscribe to my podcast. Listen to yesterday's show with Naomi Wolf. And then tomorrow I'm going to talk about the shooting and broader issues here, because you know what, Todd? This is not a crisis of policy. This is a crisis of the soul. And I'm going to get into that tomorrow on the podcast.
Love it. All right. Monica Crowley, folks, we've got a link to her podcast on the live show blog. Monica, thanks for coming on the show today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
All right. Monica Crowley, everybody. And if you have not downloaded the podcast, you really should. She does an absolutely terrific job. Again, Monica Crowley podcast. You can find the link over on our website. Coming up, our good friend Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute is going to be here a little bit later on. Senator Bill Hagerty. And apparently there's a big national lifeguard shortage. What are the kids doing? Nobody's going to work? I mean, come on. We'll tell you more about that coming up as well. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back, America. Crazy the economy is right now. Well, I've got some great news for you. Gold, our good friends over at Legacy Precious Metals, they know that gold provides a hedge against inflation and protects against a weakening dollar. And Legacy Precious Metals is the only company I trust for investing in gold and silver. Folks, you need an investment that's going to protect your wealth and your retirement. And that's why I want you to call Legacy Precious Metals today. Be proactive. Legacy Precious Metals can advise you on all of your options for investing in gold and silver. You can speak to an IRA expert right now at Legacy Precious Metals, 866-528-1903. That's 866-528-1903. Or you can download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com. All right, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us Brad Dacus, the founder of Pacific Justice Institute. Brad, hope you're doing well today.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Brad, you guys have been at the forefront of fighting for religious freedom all over America now. And really, I think there has been an effort to remove God out of the public marketplace, which I contend has led to a lot of the turmoil and the chaos and the evil that we see in our society right now. And I wanted you to weigh in on that.
Yeah, Todd, it's been very apparent in the last few years. Of course, shutting down churches while allowing liquor stores to open was a classic blatant demonstration of bias and bigotry against houses of worship and people of faith. We then see the purging of people of faith in the workplace like I've never seen ever in U.S. history. It's very egregious. Of course, both of those we've hit head-on at Pacific Justice Institute by getting a Supreme Court injunction against the state of California ordering churches to be opened up. We have major victories with regards to employers like Amtrak and Ascension Health ordering them to rehire their people that they were fired simply because of their faith and convictions about a mandate. So we definitely have serious attacks, but now it's also becoming very apparent that churches, schools, and I'd say even schools, Christian schools, are not as safe as they used to be, and protective measures definitely need to be taken.
What do you recommend? I mean, what are you guys advising churches and those Christian schools to consider doing?
Well, first, let me just make it really clear for people who don't have a pen and paper and may not be able to write all this down. We actually have a memo on our website. They go to pji.org, P for Pacific, J for Justice, I for Justice.org. Click under church resources, and you'll find an article, Church Security Measures, or Church Security Memo, it's called. But on there, we, among other things, we talk about, first off, is the external security. Every church should have cameras. They should have protective fencing to whatever extent that they can. It's recommended to inhibit the coming and going of people on off hours. And then we also recommend that they have people in the church trained to how to use guns and in a defensive manner, of course, and to get licensed to have concealed weapons. Every church should have at least two or three people every service with concealed weapons to protect their congregation. The absence thereof is negligent at best, and this is now becoming a standard protocol for churches who want to truly protect and love their congregations from such terrible tragedies.
And of course, when you look at what happened down in Texas, and you know, with as far as the spiritual component of all of this, and you guys are, this is what you guys do. You fight for people of faith every single day. Brad, when you see what's happening in Texas right now, what do you see as the root of all of this? Is it in fact the guns, or is it something bigger?
Yeah. It is definitely a spiritual measure and matter, and it's definitely not just isolated to, to the state of Texas. There's any place is vulnerable. Wherever you have people who are mentally ill, wherever you have people who are non-believers who are angry at God, there's a risk, and that's why churches, private Christian schools, et cetera, need to take those measures. Also, I want to comment that those who have children in public schools, and of course, public schools are in many ways spiritual death camps in and of themselves because of what they're teaching in public school districts all across America, from Fort Worth to Chicago to Miami to Seattle. So, but there's also a physical risk as well, Todd. So, unfortunately, public schools especially in these very liberal, more dangerous places, often ban faculty, administrators from having any firearms. And so, as we saw here in Texas, it doesn't take long for a lot of kids to be shot and killed. If you have teachers, maybe in one per grade level, that has a concealed weapon, so that if shooting starts to happen, they can immediately step into action. They're trained and can save lives. This is another example where that was not the case. The shooting continued. The police actually, they actually stood back while the shooting was taking place. This all happened very quickly, so I'm not throwing any stones at the police. But the fact is there needs to be more preemptive measures taken before the police arrive, and not just relying on one security guard potentially at a school at a certain time.
All right, Brad, we appreciate your great insight. We salute the great work that you guys do at Pacific Justice Institute, and we have links to your website there on our live show blog. Thank you very much.
Oh, you bet. If they want to keep up with our many cases and litigation, they should also go there and sign up to get our Legal Insider newsletter. It's without charge, Legal Insider at PJI.org.
We got it. All right. Brad Dacus, everybody, founder of Pacific Justice Institute. And if you need legal counsel, they're the folks to reach out to. And they've got a great team of lawyers all across America that are fighting for you. Brad, thank you. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go to Mike in Georgia, WDUN. Mike, what's on your mind this afternoon?
Well, thinking about the shootings and with the president losing that daughter with a car wreck, I'm thinking, why don't they try to outlaw, cars that hold over one person or two person? You might have a car with four people in it and hit a tree and everybody be killed, or a van that's holding eight, or a school bus with 66 people in it. It's the gun and not the car. It's the gun, they try to say, but we know it's not. There's people that man up north, he ran that car through all them people in that parade, but they're not trying to outlaw cars. I mean, give me a break. It's just crazy.
Mike, let me jump in here, because we come armed every single day with facts and news you can use on this program. Yeah. Yeah. And you bring up a great point. According to the CDC, 40,000 people a year die in the United States because of car accidents, about 40,000. Now, the number of gun-related deaths is about 45,000. That's according to the Pew Research Center. But here's where it gets interesting, Mike. When you break down that number, over half of the gun deaths in America are actually suicides. So you're looking at around 20,000 or so. You've got twice as many people that are being killed in car accidents than you do being killed by somebody holding a gun, pointing that gun at you.
Right. I know one man that killed himself with a car. Yeah. And there's no telling how many others do the same thing, but you'll never know.
That's true. Mike, it's a great point. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate that. Let's go to Suzanne on the line. Suzanne, you want to weigh in on something Monica Crowley said?
Yes, Todd. I think that Monica was absolutely right, but I'd like to add this. If that man in the White House, who I understand lost a child, and that's very sad for anybody, even a monster, if he really cared, he would have said, let's give these parents time to bury their children and mourn their children, and then let's unifiably talk about what we can do about this. And I also think this is so prevalent that he should have, a day of mourning would have gotten more votes in the end. But it is a tragedy that what we have to listen to is Obama talking about some guy, a career criminal, who died when? It's just, we are a godless country. I'm sorry. It's so upsetting to me. I don't understand why these schools weren't locked. I've worked in schools in Georgia, Massachusetts. You can't get in unless you push a button. This school was by the border. What is going on?
Suzanne, it's a great question, and it looks to me, and if all this information, and it's coming from officials, so we're not sharing info with you that's coming from a reporter. This is actually coming from the people in the know. I mean, if all of this is accurate, there was a complete breakdown of public safety in that town.
Absolutely.
A complete breakdown.
And, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and what do you tell your children, your grandchildren, who happen to listen to this? Children learn no more than we did when we were kids. Are they going to be afraid to go to school? I don't know what I do if I have a child now. I think I definitely just pull them out and homeschool them. My grandchild, I really don't want her to go to school because you just don't know. We're out of control.
Now,
something has to be.
I want to share this with you. This is coming from Chris Hayes. And Suzanne, God bless you. Thank you for that call. This is coming from Chris Hayes, MSDNC. And here's what he says. I want to get your take on this. He says, I am more certain of this than I have ever been. Stop lockdown drills in all schools immediately. It does nothing to protect kids. All it does is traumatize them. And in the worst case, plant the idea for some of them to, and I'm going to continue his thought here, to actually engage in school shootings. I never thought I would hear somebody like Chris say that. Do you agree with that idea that it's time to stop the lockdown drills, time to stop all of this stuff because it's traumatizing the kids? 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, a lot of people were asking, well, why do you think Obama said what he said? Why did he interject himself and remind everybody as people are still grieving for dead children? Why do you think he did that? I have a theory, and I just, you know what? I'm not even going to share the theory. I'm just going to share some facts with you. Fact, there was a mass shooting in Buffalo, and that generated an immediate response from the White House. It happened in a predominantly black part of town. It prompted an immediate visit to the scene by the President of the United States. That's a fact. There was also a horrible terrorist attack in Waukesha, Wisconsin, where a black nationalist mowed down lots of white people, and there was no condemnation from Biden. There was no visit from the president. It's almost as if that story didn't happen. You had another black nationalist attack people on a Brooklyn subway, and that story was completely disappeared from the mainstream media. And then you have a predominantly Hispanic school now that was attacked. Predominantly Hispanic boys and girls lost their lives. And here you have President Obama inserting himself saying, no, 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 no. The big story here is George Floyd. What does that tell you, ladies and gentlemen? All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. This is some pretty sad news. Ray Liotta has died. He was filming a movie down in the Dominican Republic. And they say, by the way, he was the guy that starred in Goodfellas. And that really just blew him up onto the national scene. A really incredible actor and just did a phenomenal job with his portrayal of Henry Hill in that movie. 67 years old. They say he died in his sleep. They just think it was natural causes, so we'll wait and see. That's coming from TMZ. Let's go to Mississippi. Brian, listening to us on KWAM, the Mighty 990. Brian, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. You may have already covered it, but there were some reports on the Texas school shooting that there was an armed guard at the I can't pronounce the name of the school. I'm sorry, but anyways.
Yeah, so there was, we know there was a security guard. We don't know if, in fact, he was armed, and if he was armed, we don't know if he engaged the suspect, and that is unknown at this point. But at least two officers, police officers, did enter the building and were immediately shot by the gunman, and then he barricaded himself in the classroom.
Okay, well, I guess a lot of people are trying to, you know, figure out what happened. And, you know, it just seems like, you know, of course, rushed all the politics, you know, but nobody even really knows what's happened, which many people have already said. The second question I had, you know, it still goes back, though. You know, what is the what is the House and Senate spending money on? You know, you can do quick math, and just money that they spent on the Ukraine, you know, which whether those weapons or resources will ever even get there, I've kind of got strong doubts that they'll ever see half that money. But why can't we do that here and secure a border? I'm sure you talked about it plenty of times, but just get your thoughts on it.
You know, Brian, I mean, that's a great question. And we ran the numbers, and the numbers have actually been run up on Capitol Hill, and it's about the same price tag. So you're looking at, what, $40 billion were given to Ukraine. It's about that same amount if we were going to send, what, five or six security guards, armed security officers to every school in America. So, I mean, if you're going to spend the money, you may as well say, okay, how do we keep our schools safe? Because no doubt about it, especially grade schools, Brian, those are the softest of the school targets.
Absolutely. You know, Hannity keeps on talking about, like, retired, you know, military, all that. Those are all great things. But, you know, I mean, you know, the United States has the money to protect their schools. You know, this is just pure politics, you know, but really for both sides. The way I see it.
And Brian, and many of these people that are raising Cain right now were staunch advocates of not having police anywhere near a public school.
Exactly. I mean, you got people that just don't want to support the police in any shape, form, or any kind of security or anything, which is just, you know, shocking. But I mean, there are some on the right that are politicizing this already. You know, they start out saying they're not politicized, but then they delve right into it. So it's both sides right now, but yeah, the question is where's the money being spent in the House, Senate? I mean, you know, when what was it, 11, only 11 senators voted against the Ukraine package, the largest package, which is actually what I'm hearing is actually more like $50 billion when it's all said and done. And how much of that money or resources is actually going to get there? Because you know, there's people in line to.
Oh, it's a lot more than that, Brian. A lot more than that. That's just this specific aid package. So, I mean, it's just, it's insane. And then they turn around and they say they don't have any money to take care of American people. I have a problem with. Brian, we've got to run for the news break. Thanks for listening to KWAM. We've got a couple of lines open here, folks. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, well, hello everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Good to have you with us today. I'm telling you, Congress, everybody is, they're off their rockers, gone insane over the gun grab that's happening across America. And we've got a lot of folks on hold, and we're about to go right to the phones here. I want you to understand this about the Second Amendment. The reason why the Second Amendment is so important, and some people will say, well, Todd, if it was so important, why isn't it the First Amendment? Well, the reason why is that the Second Amendment protects all the other amendments. Without the Second Amendment, they're going to be able to come in and take whatever they want from us. And that's one of the reasons why this great, big, beautiful, huge country has never been invaded. And the reason why is because they know that just about every American citizen is loaded for bear. And they know how to use those guns. And by and large, the overwhelming number of gun owners in America are law-abiding, decent people. And yes, you're going to have these bad actors out there doing horrible, horrible, heinous things. And I can't imagine anything more awful than what happened down in Texas just a few days ago. But the reality is, it doesn't matter how many laws are on the book, that young man, that 18-year-old, was going to do what he was going to do. There were no laws on the books, no proposed laws that would have stopped this guy from doing what he did. All that to say, you've got Chuck Schumer now, who is up there on Capitol Hill. And do we have this audio. This is Senator Chuck Schumer just a few moments ago from the U.S. Senate.
No amount of bloodshed seems to be enough for MAGA Republicans.
What does that mean? You had Joe Biden a little while ago saying that all of you people out there who own an AR-15, the only reason you own an AR-15 is because you want to go kill somebody. I mean, this is off the charts, insane rhetoric that's going to get somebody hurt. That's what concerns me here. But if you look at who has guns, by and large, most Americans own guns to protect themselves. That's the reason why. Because it takes a long time for the police to get to you. And that's not a slap at the cops. It's not a slap at 911. It's a reality of the situation. You got somebody busting down your door. It's going to take the cops a little while to get there. And you want to be able to protect your wife and your husband. You want to be able to protect your kids and your grandkids. That's what it's all about. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868, Georgia. Hartwell Bob is on the line. All right, Bob, what say you?
Oh, nothing much. Excuse me. I think we need more guns, more AR-15s, and maybe make M16s legal. And then the schools have little gun racks on each desk and have a special child's AR-15.
Wait, you want children? You want to arm the children, Hartwell Bob?
Of course. When somebody comes in the room and they got a gun and nobody has a gun, at least it's something to discourage the people coming in to shoot.
So, well, yes, but do you want first and second graders showing up at school with guns?
Well, not without a couple hours training.
Okay, Bob, come on. Bob, come on. Come on, Bob.
No, seriously, it would stop it.
You're serious. You're telling me, Hartwell Bob, listening to us on WDUN, and you're recommending that they actually build little gun racks in schools so the first graders can bring their guns to campus.
No, they'll issue them child-size M16s. Maybe with half the load of a regular M16 so it wouldn't kick too bad.
You're yanking my. You're pulling my leg here, Hartwell Bob, aren't you?
I've always found that M16s, when I fired them in the military, didn't seem to have a kick.
All right, Hartwell Bob, thanks for calling in.
Okay, first of all, can't you just see it now? One kid steals someone else's fruit roll up, and they're like, "That's the last thing you'll ever steal." That's what would happen. And also it reminds me of a Christmas story where they're like, "You'll shoot your eye out, kid." Well, this is a whole lot worse than a BB gun, folks.
I think Hartwell Bob was pulling our leg here.
I don't think he was.
You don't think so?
I don't think he was.
You determined that he was good enough to come on the radio program.
Yes, my lie detector is pretty sharp, and I don't think he was trying to pull my leg.
So you think he was actually serious about that?
I think he was
serious.
Because
I think, by and large, all of us agree, that is nuts.
No, I think that's a terrible idea. That's why I'm laughing, because it's absurd. Because I'm like, look, I mean, we can talk about arming teachers who are adults, but children?
All right. Thank you, Grace. Let's go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Ruth on the line. Ruth, what say you?
Well, I tell you what. This has been going on since 1999 on a large scale. And yet our lawmakers, our school boards, our police, have not been able to contain this. I can't accept that. And I have to ask myself, how motivated are they to protect America's kids? And who are they to make a law you have to put your kid in public school if they're not going to protect that child? That's the first concern of every parent. I want my child, my grandchild, safe. And if you can't do that, you have no business trying to, and they don't even educate anymore. The curriculum, a pile of poo. So, at any rate, you know, in a crime, if you have knowledge of a potential crime and the crime takes place, guess what? You're an accessory to the fact. You did nothing about it. That's what all these school boards should be held account. If another one of these shootings takes place, as a parent, as a grandparent, I would sue the school board for not taking care of business.
Ruth, look at what happened. Go back to Parkland, Florida. And a lot of people don't want to remember this, but Parkland, Florida, that was completely preventable. But it was Obama-era education policies that kept that kid in the classroom and at that school. This could have been prevented. All of the and there are people out there advocating. They want to take away the guns. They don't want to arm the teachers. They don't want to have armed security guards. They don't want to have school security at all. And they're basically saying, okay, here you go. Have your way with the kids.
So, you know what? It seems to me that every state, every community should take back their power from the feds. The feds have demonstrated over and over again they're incapable of doing the two things the Constitution has them to do, and that is to secure the border and to take care of interstate commerce. They don't do either. They've done a lousy job at either. So in my opinion, when somebody's that incompetent, you're criminal to allow them to continue in that role.
I like your idea. I like your idea, Ruth, and we've got to hold the school boards accountable here. I mean, clearly the investigation's in the early stages, and we're going to get to the bottom of all of this. But if in fact the police allowed that guy to stay in that classroom for 40 minutes, it was shooting fish in a barrel. Then somebody's going to pay for that. They've got to pay for it.
And here's the thing. Until one of their kids is shot, they don't care. So parents have got to step up. I mean, you don't have to be ugly. You don't have to be breaking the law. But surely in this country that's built on a republic, we've got some smart lawyers in this country that could start advising parents on how to take their power back.
Yep, it's a great thought. Ruth, appreciate the call. Good hearing from you. Let's go to Conway, Arkansas. Scott has something he wants to say to Hartwell Bob. All right, Scott.
God, what is he thinking? Are you kidding me? Can you see these little kids standing? It's just ridiculous. I am so... Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I don't want to be mean, but that is crazy.
Is Hartwell Bob like a liberal? Crazy. Is he trying to play with us? That's what I'm trying to figure out. What's the? He can't be serious.
I'm sorry. I had to stop driving. It was so ridiculous. Anyway, here's the thing, Doc. In our town, our schools are locked. You don't get in. You will not get in. There's cameras, and you've got to... You know, they say, okay, yes, you can come in. They know who you are. I don't understand. All this money we send to these other countries and all this money they spend some of that money on security for your schools in the country. That would solve this. More education, more money spent on this. I think we could probably nip this stuff. But it's terrible. It's horrible.
You know, Scott, our tax dollars are building all these brand new schools, and they're coming up. They're growing up all over the place. I mean, we got a couple here in the Memphis area. Are they building these schools with these security procedures in place? Are they doing that? And if not, what the heck is wrong with these people?
I don't know, but I don't understand Texas. Texas, you would think that every school would be locked down.
You would think so.
But I don't know. Anyway, that Hartwell Bob, it was funny. I had to call.
All right, Scott. Give us a call back one of these days. What did Hartwell Bob said? Little tiny gun racks for the children. That's nuts. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, I want to go to North Carolina, the talk station. A lot of great military personnel, military veterans living in that area of North Carolina. Dave is on the line. And, Dave, I understand that you're a Marine veteran. And welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm retired.
And you see, Dave, I paused. Can I tell you why I paused there? Because I introduced somebody once as a retired Marine, and I got all these calls like, Marines never retire. That's what they tell me.
Well, when we're released from active duty, it's different for us.
Yeah.
You know, the old saying is, once a Marine, always a Marine. That's true. There's no such thing as a former Marine except for those who have been dishonorably discharged, you know. And so, and a lot of people believe, you know, it's an oath of enlistment for the period of the enlistment. Well, the oath of enlistment lasts a lifetime for us.
Amen. I see.
You know, so I may not be on active duty, but I'm as much a Marine at heart as all, you know. And here's the thing. Here's the call to civic duty is part of that. So after the Parkland shooting, and I told Don Trout this last night on the Jim Bohannon show because I just got so fed up I had to call back. And when I was up at Fort Bragg some years back during Parkland, I called and I told Jim that night, I said, you know, here's the thing. I would stop what I'm doing right now and would volunteer. I know a lot of people in law enforcement, a lot of other non-active duty military people who would volunteer, and we could get, you know, we could coordinate through state and county and everybody else to come up with regulations and standards and training programs and everything else. We can provide our own equipment. We can sit there. We can come in our vehicles. And if nothing else, we could provide surveillance, even if we just do half-day shifts or whatever. But here's the thing. It's not a problem. It's a solution. And we're, you know, there's people across America. We can get moms and dads and uncles and everybody, and we can get trained groups. If somebody's aunt had been sitting outside in her vehicle just watching yesterday, she sees a guy coming across the fence with a weapon, a 911 call at that moment, and they said that the guys were already in pursuit of this guy. There's updated information right now. The thing is, if we go through a network of people and the call starts to get relayed to different people, now you've got other reactionary forces who are in play. You can get more responders there quicker because you're going through, you know, you've got multiple information releases going on. So here's what gets me. We've got all these, and they don't want us to own guns. How many times do we hear about representatives out there that are spending $100,000, $300,000, $400,000 a year in taxpayer money for private security for them? And it's always the same, but they don't want to spend anything on the schools.
It's true.
It's always the same thing. When we have a school shooting, we've got to take the guns, got to take the guns. You know, Joe's big drama last, you know, about, oh, how many times does this have to happen? Once, Joe. It happens once. Once is too many. That's how many times, Mr. Biden. Don't you understand that? And it's happened more than once. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, all these other actors up there, all these people who pretend to be upset, and I'm going to call on Greg Murphy, the congressman in the 3rd District. He's supposed to be my representative, who I would be the first in line, and I would start impeachment if, well, Greg Murphy, today's your day. Get up there, pal. Start impeachment because nobody in the Biden administration protected these children. Nobody will protect the children. I hear him say, take the guns. I have not heard one person say, stop the world. Stop everything. We've got to protect kids. We've got to protect children starting right now. Nobody's saying that.
It's true. It's a great point.
That's what's got to be done. Oh, well, here we're going to use the attacks on these families as a reason to take away Second Amendment rights. Are you kidding me? It's as heinous an act as this was. Look what it's bringing out in people like Beto O'Rourke and everybody else, and all this showmanship that's going on. People lost their children. Let's get a grip on what's really going on. Let's get a grip on what the problem is. We're not protecting children. Now, here's something, and a lot of people are going to find this outrageous, so buckle up, because here we go. This is coming from the administration, who cannot murder enough children who are still in the womb. But, well, we're not using a gun. Really? As a child, it wasn't that.
Yeah, it's a great point you're raising. And you're right. The focus has been getting guns, not how do we protect the kids. And you're right. Dave, we've got to skedaddle. We're getting close to a break here. God bless you, and thanks for that insight. And I will say this. You know, he mentioned Fort Bragg, by the way. This is coming from ABC News. Fort Bragg is one of a number of military bases that are going to be renamed. So they're getting rid of any military base that was named after anyone connected to the Confederacy. Their names are going to be scrubbed. Fort Bragg will soon be known as Fort Liberty. That will be the new name of Fort Bragg in North Carolina. There are other military bases that are also going to be renamed Fort Hood, Fort Rucker, Fort Polk, Fort Benning. By the way, Fort Benning is going to be renamed Fort Gordon in Georgia, Fort Hill, and Fort Lee and Fort Pickett in Virginia. So, by the way, Fort Gordon, you guys are going to be named after former President Eisenhower, who was, of course, the great general. So that'll be Fort Eisenhower. And you folks at Fort Hood, your military installation is going to be renamed after Richard Cavazos, who is the first Latino to reach the rank of four-star general in the Army. They're going to be naming military bases after a number of first in the African-American community as well. So there you go. That information coming exclusively from ABC News. They've got some inside scoop on that blue panel or blue ribbon panel. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Folks, welcome back. Good to have you with us today. Todd Starnes is the name. ToddStarnes.com is the website. You got to check that out. And people are very upset about this NRA convention in Houston. A lot of people say, well, you got to cancel it. We shouldn't be having the NRA. We shouldn't be having the NRA convention. And now you got people saying, well, we got to ban. So now apparently firearms are actually banned during President Trump's speech, and people are making a mountain of controversy out of that. And you got a couple of lawmakers, Crenshaw and also Conyers, who are Cornyn, rather, who are not going to be in attendance. You can look, attend, don't attend. I mean, I don't see what the issue here is. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from the great state of Tennessee. Senator Bill Hagerty joins us. Senator, good to have you on the program today.
Todd, great to be with you. I hope you're well.
I am, Senator. I want to play some audio for you. This just happened moments ago up on Capitol Hill. Senator Chuck Schumer had this to say.
No amount of bloodshed seems to be enough for MAGA Republicans.
How do you respond to stuff like that? This is just appalling what the Democrats are doing.
It is beyond the pale. It is just completely beyond the pale. It's everything. There's not a time to mourn, but there's always a time to politic with people like that.
It's terrible, and I'm with you. I mean, there has not been a time for anybody to grieve. The poor moms and dads still don't even know if their kids were alive, and you've got all these people from President Biden on down trying to stage political and score political points here.
Todd, you're exactly right, and I just think America is sick of this. Biden should see this reflected in his poll numbers. What you've got is just basically a political hack bouncing around, going from press release to press release, and they're not running the country. They are just trying to score political points every day, and the public is fed up with this. Inflation is running rampant. You've got a crisis happening right now in Ukraine. We have basically funded because of Biden's war on energy that has raised energy prices around the world and given a huge windfall to Vladimir Putin that he is in turn using to fund his war machine. You've got the crisis in Afghanistan, which has emboldened every one of our enemies. And you've got Biden over in Asia just earlier this week, making misstatements and, having to walk it back. It is really, really an irresponsible approach to almost everything that they do. And then this.
Senator, let's talk about some of those big issues, not the least of which is inflation. People are suffering, not just in Tennessee, but all over America. How concerned are you that we could even see those food shortages that they're predicting come summertime?
I'm very concerned about it. And
what I see is an administration that just seems to be wholly incompetent. Whether you look at what happened with the baby formula situation, the fact that they can't execute on that, now fertilizer prices are through the roof because energy prices are through the roof, and the dislocations coming from Russia are serious because of our dependence that was allowed to occur there. I think there's a real big problem, particularly if you look at Ukraine. If we can't get their port opened up, there's a lot of wheat. There are going to be a lot of countries that are going to be starving around the world if we can't get that out and allow the farmers to do their next harvest. So we've got real concerns, and you've got Samantha Power, who is head of USAID. You may have seen the exchange I had with her, but on a Sunday morning talk show, she said, well, this actually may be a good thing, all these fertilizer shortages, because it'll force farmers to go to more organic farming methods like manure and compost. I asked her if she knew who Dr. Thomas Malthus was in her hearing before me. She didn't seem to. And I reminded her when I was president of my FFA chapter in high school, I had to study who Dr. Thomas Malthus was. He was one of the original doomsday predictors that said we were going to run out of food because the population was growing, and he assumed that there wouldn't be any improvement in yields. Well, he underestimated the innovation in American agriculture. Modern fertilizer is one of those things. People will starve if we go back to the old methods because the yields aren't high enough. And you've got, you know, people in serious positions here in this administration who are not thinking, and they're not being serious and not taking their responsibility as they should. And the results are going to be catastrophic if they don't wake up.
I was thinking about being in Germantown, Tennessee, filling up my car just a few days ago, $4.49 a gallon for regular unleaded. And I'm reminded of Joe Biden telling America that this is all about this painful transition. So I hope that
an incredible transition, wasn't it?
Incredible transition. I mean,
yeah, he must think that's somehow positive, that that he's going to force us all to go to electric vehicles, which aren't even available yet. Vehicles who rely upon China for their batteries. In other countries, for the lithium and the cobalt that make those batteries up, he's making us, again, dependent on other nations. That's terrible for our national security. And if you think about the whole push towards solar, where do you think the solar panels are made? China. And it's just unbelievable. Every time Joe Biden turns around, China wins.
And not to mention that we don't even have the infrastructure necessary to accommodate all of these Green New Deal policies.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Todd. We don't have the infrastructure in place. It's going to take some time. You know, I was talking with the CEO of Pilot Oil. They're the largest purveyor of diesel fuel in America. And they said, look, there's a real estate issue here, too. If you think about it taking 40 minutes to fuel up an electric vehicle, well, they need more space. Where are they going to put the cars? There are a lot of things that have to be thought through very carefully before we go out and just start making policies right, left, and center, killing off the fossil fuel industry, thinking that'll force people toward vehicles that we don't have, and with it, you know, that can't be fueled with infrastructure that doesn't exist.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Senator Bill Hagerty from the great state of Tennessee. Senator, you also signed on, you inked a letter concerning the proposed acquisition of Forbes by an entity linked to the Communist Chinese Party. This is insane. The Chinese are just running roughshod over the entire country.
Yeah, it is amazing, and we've got to have our eyes open, and we've got to be on the lookout at every turn. I'm sure that this is not what Americans want to see. China's already proven what they do when they control the media in their own country. It's propaganda, and we need to be very careful that same sort of approach doesn't happen here. I mean, it already concerns me about the bias in the media here. But can you imagine if we have a Chinese Communist Party affiliated entity controlling one of the major media outlets here in America?
Well said. Well said. Senator, we're going to have to leave it there. We appreciate the great work you're doing and keeping a close eye on what China is up to. Thank you again.
Thank you, Todd. Wonderful to be with you.
All right. Senator Bill Hagerty, everybody, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Folks, if you made the switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier? If you haven't, what are you waiting for? Patriot Mobile has some incredible offers just for listeners of the Todd Stearns radio program. You know, Patriot Mobile, they've got awesome nationwide coverage. They use the same towers the other guys use, and they have plans to fit any budget. So no matter how big or how small, and if you're a veteran or a first responder, they're going to give you even more discounts. They make it so easy for you to switch. All you have to do is go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd, or give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. Use my promo code Todd. You're going to get a special discount and free premier activation. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. All right. What is the deal here, Grace? Transgender Barbie?
I think it explains itself. So it's a new limited edition Barbie doll. Oh, good. And okay, I had to look at the Barbie doll. Just looks kind of like a normal Barbie doll. You could tell the arms are slightly more muscular.
Well, I wouldn't lift the dress if I were you.
Well, no, I was like, I don't even want to know what they put under there. I was thinking that, but I didn't want to say it.
Basically, they put a Barbie head on a Ken doll. Is basically what they did, right?
Basically.
All right.
With a few added features.
Accessories?
Yeah. We'll call it that.
Good golly. All right. Thank you for that, doomed. Grace. Yes, we are. Let's go to Bill in Statesville, North Carolina, wants to weigh in on the military renaming all of these bases. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I grew up in Petersburg, Virginia, and of course, being a child of the 60s and 70s, knew all about this Civil War stuff, and actually worked at Fort Lee for 31 years before I retired. The trouble with this is, those bases in the South were named back in pre-World War One, or for the build-up for World War One, along with the bases in the North, as a way of basically, 50 years after the Great Conflict there, of basically assuaging the North and the South. And it was a consideration, actually, to people in the North and the South. So Southern generals were named in the South bases. Northern generals were named for the Northern bases. And that's how they did it. If you look at the composition of the forces that went overseas for World War I, you had the 69th, the Rainbow Division. They had Southern National Guard units in that division. They had Northern National Guard units in that division. And, oh, by the way, Southern National Guard units who have their origins in Civil War units, on their battle streamer, the gray color is over top of the blue and vice versa for the northern units. So they're throwing history again out the window just to be woke.
Oh, they are, Bill, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the facts are. It doesn't matter what the truth is. It doesn't matter that we are one of the few countries to reunite after a civil war. How did that happen? And a lot of it is based on reconciliation. And that was, Bill, as you just eloquently described, that was one of the ways to reconcile, to bring people together. But Bill, it greatly concerns me, you know, that we're not just forgetting our history, we're turning that history to rubble.
Yes. And one thing about Virginia, the renaming of Fort Lee, let's not forget that the Lee family was very prominent in that state, and Light Horse Harry Lee, Robert E. Lee's father, was a hero of the Revolutionary War. If they wanted to keep the name, just name it Fort Lee and put all the Lee's name on there as a historical mention.
It's fair enough, but you know they're not going to do that. We know what this is all about. And you know, they're doing it here in Memphis, Tennessee, for goodness sakes. They literally dug up the body of Confederate General Nathan Bedford Forrest because he was buried in what became a public park. And, I mean, if you're going to be digging up bodies, you know, it's anything goes. Bill, appreciate the history lesson, and it's a shame. You know, I wrote a book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation, and it explains what's going on in this nation. And I would encourage you to get yourself a copy of it and educate yourself about what's happening here. Let's go to Statesville, North Carolina. Ron, WSIC, wants to weigh in on electric cars.
Yes, I just want to make a quick comment. You know, you could give everybody an electric car, and you could make all the charging stations very readily available. But if you did away with fossil fuels, you couldn't charge them.
Yes. No, that is this is absolutely true, Ron.
I don't understand. I mean, if you did away with fossil fuels, you couldn't even charge your battery. I mean, your phone. I don't understand where these people are coming from.
And they'll say, well, you know, we're going to use wind energy. Okay, have you seen what happened to the wind turbines during the blizzards and the snowstorms when they froze solid, or the tornadoes that come through the heartland and rip them apart? it's not going to work. We do not have the infrastructure in place to do what they want us to do.
Well, I mean, maybe 5% of the people could charge their phone, but that'd be about it. That's about the maximum that your solar and your wind can do.
Ron, you know, one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life in New York City, they were trying to get people to stop driving. So they raised the tolls to cross the bridges into New York City, and it was just an astronomical amount of money. So they wanted people to ride the subway. That was the more, I don't know, in their minds, that was the more environmentally friendly thing to do. But they also put out these bicycle racks. So if you paid by credit card, you could rent a bicycle. And there were thousands of these things all over the city. Ron, do you know that not a single person rode those bicycles? Every time I would walk by a bicycle rack, they were still there. So,
but somebody stole the bicycle rack.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Big money.
I mean, somebody's brother-in-law or somebody's uncle or our father sold those bicycle racks.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. It's all about money.
Well, you got that right. All right, Ron, thanks for the call. I never did understand that. That's, you know, but people, mainly because it's too dangerous to ride a bicycle in New York City. You have to ride in traffic with the cars, and those taxis will mow you down. All right, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Bob in Morehead City, North Carolina. Hey, Bob, what's on your mind?
When is somebody going to tell Joe Biden that the tip of his poison pen has been indirectly responsible for more deaths to Americans than all the guns? Over 100,000 have died from illegal drugs his pen has allowed to invade this country by his open borders and support of the drug cartels. His poison pen resulted in the deaths of 13 troops in a botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. His poison pen has killed our economy and its citizens by his anti-American executive orders. Joe Biden and the Democrats are the party of death, supported by Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Planned Parenthood, and all the criminals they're releasing early from the prisons by the liberal mayors and governors. Biden and Obama and Biden was previously the most lawless administration until Biden and Harris took over and turned this country into a United Socialist Marxist Republic and killed or killing all of our freedom. Biden's pen is the most dangerous weapon in the United States. Somebody needs to take the damn thing away from it.
Yeah, I hear you, Bob. I mean, what he has done on this border and the amount of drugs that's been allowed to flow across that border and the impact that has had in our nation and especially in the urban centers. But keep in mind, Bob, they want that chaos. The Democrats thrive on chaos, and that's why they haven't secured the border. They want the cities to be in turmoil, and they're having their way. Bob, appreciate the call. Gotta run. This item just in from the White House, President Biden is going to be meeting with a Grammy-nominated musical group from Korea. The group is a K-pop phenomenon. I've not gotten into the K-pop. I don't understand the attraction to K-pop, but there's a very popular group called BTS, and it stands for Beyond the Scene. Anyway, is it a boy band? Is that basically it? K-pop is basically a boy band. And so anyway, President Biden's inviting the band to come to the White House to talk about Asian American hate crimes and to figure out ways that he can promote diversity and inclusion within the Asian American community. So there you go. I hesitate to ask this question, but I feel as if I must. Is Biden aware of what K-pop really is? Biden understands that it's not corn pop, right? That this is a different, this is something different, right? We hope so. It ought to be entertaining. All right, folks, we've got to get out of here. Tim Van Horn in the anchor chair tomorrow. Going to be a lot of fun. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
three-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.